What do you guys think of superheroes getting saved? How about that? So we were actually just talking out in the foyer, Chris and Bill and myself, about all these movies that are coming out. John was out there too, and we're just kind of scratching our heads over. It's like, well, didn't they just make a Spider-Man like 6 months ago, and now there's another Spider-Man, and there's the 28th iteration of Superman's getting ready to come out, right? So I'm just like, can't we just all come together and decide on a format and quit rebooting these movies over and over again, because I can't afford to keep going and watching them, right? So as I'm prepping for this, I'm thinking about all these superhero things and putting videos together and whatnot. And I got to thinking, you know, what if I was going to sit down and write a superhero story? There's something that most superheroes have that makes them awesome. And I'm not talking about the superpowers or the utility belts and all that stuff, but to make it something that's going to engage you and make you want to sit there and pay $8.95 for the ticket and $75 for the concessions, there has to be something there, right? Well, I got to thinking, you know, there has to be a backstory to these superheroes, right? So let's put these up. I want to quiz you guys a little bit and see if you can tell me this first guy up here, Spider-Man. Does anybody know what his backstory is? Jake. Yep, got bit by a genetically altered spider, started being able to shoot webs from his hands and stuff like that, and started using that for good once his Uncle Ben got killed and he wanted to give some justice. Great responsibility, great power, right? All right, the next one. And just a side note, yes, for you guys. Yesterday we had our full dress rehearsal here, and we're all here showing up, and we're looking at the clock. We're like, man, it's getting really late. Where is everybody? And we come to find out, Justin was sick. Superman, the Man of Steel, was laid up in bed. So we're like, it was kryptonite, man. There was definitely kryptonite there somewhere. So we kind of scramble, and we have someone stand in and do his lines and stuff. And so I go and text Bill last night. I'm like, man, we've been praying for you guys. Is everybody okay? No answer. I'm like, whoa, this can't be good, man. You know, maybe they're in the ER or something. So he finally texts me back a couple hours later and says, yeah, the boys are feeling better, but now I've got it. I'm like, man, so I texted, well, that's a shame, because if Justin was sick, I was really looking forward to seeing you in a Superman outfit, brother. So that's Superman's backstory. But the real Man of Steel from the comic books, what is his backstory? So we know that if Michael Bay was making this, it would be about aliens, of course, and lots of explosions. It's kind of the same thing. Superman comes from the planet of Krypton because his planet is what? It's getting blowed up. So his planet's going away. His parents stick him in a space capsule, launch him to Earth. He lands in Smallville, according to ABC, with the Kents, and he starts realizing his powers, right? So that's his backstory. He starts using his powers. Super speed, super strength, Man of Steel, can leap tall buildings, all that. Next guy. So this next guy, Batman, doesn't have any superpowers like the rest of these guys, right? His story is when he was a kid, he actually witnessed his parents getting brutally murdered, and his parents happened to be fiscally well off. Or loaded. Bazillionaires, to be exact. So he uses his money to start inventing gadgets and things like that, and turns to vigilante and starts imposing his brand of justice. All with a gravelly voice. Next guy. The Hulk. Superhero quiz. Who is his alter ego? Who is he really? No. Somebody yell it. What is it? Bruce Banner is a scientist, and he's working on genetic engineering and things like that. And in his lab, there is an explosion, and he gets covered with what? Gamma radiation. That turns him a nice hue of green. and gives him a little bit of a rage complex. He has anger issues after this. All right, one more for you guys. This is for the bonus points. Captain America, who knows Captain America's real name? Sarah. Steve Rogers. She was really quick on the draw on that one, wasn't she? So Steve Rogers is this little pipsqueak of a man. Now I'm going by the movie because I did not follow the comic books. Same thing, okay, I'll take your word for it. Little pipsqueak of a guy who really wanted to get in the military, and they keep booting him out because, well, he just does not have the right stuff. And according to the movie, Tony Stark, who is Iron Man's dad, decides, hey, I can help you out, come. Huh? Or I'm sorry, Tony Stark's dad. Whatever. Shouldn't you be getting back to college? There's new superhero movies on the way. So he gets this injection, and they go through this experiment, and the capsule opens, and he goes from little 90-pound pipsqueak to ripped dude who can do all sorts of things, including taking this vibranium shield and throwing it all over the place and block all kinds of gunfire and stuff like that. And he goes over and starts kicking some Nazi butt, right? Captain America. These guys all have very intricate backstories, so intricate that it takes up volumes and volumes and volumes of comic books that you can invest thousands and thousands of dollars or spend the same and go to the movies and see it. So that's Marvel and all those other comic heroes. That's their story. That's their superhero. But as we heard today, we're going to talk about a real superhero. And we kind of have a name for backstories when we talk about things in the church, right? We call them prophecies. They're no longer legends. They're actually prophecies. Amen? So I was looking through this book, and if you guys have anybody, if you're in this place where, you know, you hear this God stuff and you keep hearing about Christ and you're like, yeah, but there's no real proof. There's no evidence. I encourage you, go tomorrow, buy this book. This book is laid out in such a way that even the most staunch critic at the end of it is going to say, I got nothing, because it's so laid out in a way that presents the truth. So a lot of these prophetical statistics that I'm going to give you guys, I pulled from this book just for reference. Josh McDowell is just an amazing man. So let's look at a couple of these prophecies. These are messianic prophecies that talked about the coming of the Messiah long before it happened. Now, we just lived through something prophetical, didn't we? And we're all still here, aren't we? 12/21, 2012. The Mayans weren't quite so smart, were they? They didn't have it all together. And if, what's going around on Facebook, if the Mayans were so smart, there'd still be Mayans, wouldn't there? So let's look at a couple of these prophecies surrounding the coming of the Messiah, the life and death of the Messiah, and stuff like that. I'm not going to cover all of those. This book is about that thick, and a huge portion of it is covering these prophecies. I'll spare you that. It's Christmas. Number one, there's a prophecy that says he will be born of a virgin. And the scripture that references this is in Isaiah. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. That comes from Isaiah 7:14. For those of you who are keeping track of this, keep it in the back of your mind. This was written 700 years, approximately, before Christ came on the scene.